the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, we're playing the Friday Open because it's kind of like a Friday, right? It's a last day before. I'm assuming most people listening here are having, you know, a few days off. July 4th, 4th of July, Independence Weekend coming up here around the nation. Western New York, Buffalo. Hey, there's Danny Gare behind me. Danny, what's up? How are you? There he is, Danny Gare, number 18. I am down at Lecom Harbor Center here for the Sabres Development Camp. Sal Capaccio with you. What's going on, Danny? Maybe Danny will join me for a minute. I'm live. I'll do this right away. Hold on, Paul. I'm going to get to Paul Hamilton. He can wait for number 18, Danny Gare. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you. I know you're here. Sometimes you're down in Florida. You come up for this a lot or what?
Well, I came back about a month ago. I spend time in the summers here with my family. And usually pop down. Last year I was here because I like to, you know, say hi to the boys and see what's going on and just check up and... It's great to see the crowd here, and a little cooler in here too. So
it is for sure. When you came to the Buffalo Sabres,
yeah.
What was it like for you to your entry point into the team, into the league? Like here, they have these development camps; these guys come in. What was it like for you back then?
Well, we used to have our training camp in St. Catharines, Ontario, and we was 100 guys. You know, rookies, whoever wasn't making the team that at that time, any team, tryout players, so forth, so on. But then after, you know, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks of camp, they broke camp with 30 guys and we came to Buffalo. And my first roommate when I came to Buffalo was Peter McNabb. And we stayed at the old Statler and he had a dog. It was interesting. His dog was with him. He named it Sunshine. It was the name of the dog, and it was a big collie. But we had little room, and his dog kept jumping up and down. And I said, Maxie, can we just, you know, get this dog out of here for a bit? But, no, it was great. And I ended up making the team, and we had a great year that year, went on to the finals. And it was just a good experience, but a lot different than it is now.
No doubt. And one of the things that's different, I mean, you guys had some success right away with those teams. Obviously, this team, 14 years out of the playoffs. How close do you think they are, Danny?
Better. I mean, better. I know that it was frustrating. I thought last year, and I sent Lindy a text when they won the 3 games out west. I think it was, I don't know, late October maybe. And then they went on that 13-game drought after that. And that was the downside, obviously, of the whole season. But I think, you know, what they're trying to do here is continue to build. It's all you can do. I mean, it's a team that I think has got some skill up front, obviously, and their back end, I think it, you know, is suspect at times, but I think with Power, you know, if he can play better down the road, and Darlene's, you know, he's an all-star. But with this Kesselring, the kid they got from, you know, Utah, I watched him play in the World Championships. I thought he was really good. I really did. And we'll see what happens in the net. So, yeah.
Hey, listen, I didn't mean to put you on the
no
spot.
Problem.
Thanks for walking over.
No problem, sir.
Great to see you. All right, you got Max down there. You see Max, he's getting big. Max, say hi to Danny Gare right there.
Max is getting big.
I love bringing my son every year to this. Yeah. This is cool for them to see this skill up here. You know what I mean?
Nah, it is. I mean, these kids, 3-on-3 is always so much fun. I remember playing when we had practices. It was so much fun, you know, wide open ice, lots of room, and it really shows off your skill and speed and quickness. So, yeah, it's great to see, and it's like I say, it's got a nice crowd to watch.
Good. Hey, tickets, Danny Gare. Be well, buddy. Right, great to see you, as always. Yeah, have a great summer. Danny Gare, how about that? Like, just walking right by me here as I'm at the Lecom Harbor Center. You never know who you're going to run into here at Sabres Development Camp, Prospect Camp, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you, Sal Capaccio. It is a bit chilly, and I said yesterday, I was thinking about it. Every year, I love to bring my son down here for the 3-on-3 challenge, the scrimmage. And you got a good crowd here today. A lot of kids in attendance. It's really cool to see. This is a fantastic place to watch hockey. It really is. And now I'm a hockey dad, what a move right there. I'm watching this game as it's going on in front of me. I mean, now that I'm a hockey dad and my son's been playing hockey, you just know how passionate people are about, you know, hockey in Western New York at the younger ages. You love to see it, even though this team has not had the success that we'd love to see for some of these youngsters. It's great to see them out here and watching these young Buffalo Sabres. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton is literally probably 25 yards from me, and he's going to be but he's not sitting next to me, but he's still going to talk to me here because he's down there. That's the beauty of technology. So Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Wester Hotline here inside the same building as me. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm extremely upset. How could you preempt me for a guy who's his jersey in the rafters?
I know.
I mean, you would rather talk to a guy with his jersey in the rafters who has scored 50 goals in the National Hockey League?
I tell you, and I joke with Danny. I have a good enough relationship where I can joke with him and he laughs. I say, Danny, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they retired your number, but not until after Paul Sear wore it, okay? Let's be honest with you.
And or obviously, Kevin O'Shea, if you want to go back to year one.
Okay.
Right, hey, the kid from Clarence Center just scored, Gavin McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Paul, why are there – the guys were talking in the morning show. Why is this a little bit scaled down as far as roster and number of players in this camp? Oh, another nice goal
there's
right there.
Zimmer
that was scored
shot.
By
– Zimmer.
That's Brody Zimmer.
He has a bazooka for a shot. Played at Minnesota this year, third-round pick, and just has an unbelievable shot. He ripped one off the crossbar earlier before you came on the air, but that's his weapon. And he's one of the guys that played at University of Minnesota as a true freshman. That doesn't happen that much anymore. When I was in college, yes, mm-hmm. it happened a lot, but it rarely happens. I think all the years I covered Niagara hockey doing games, I saw one true freshman. Usually they play in the USHL in junior before they come to. So that means, too, he's playing against guys who are 4 or 5 years older than him, you know, as a true freshman at Minnesota. But that's his weapon. The thing we were talking about yesterday, we were talking to him, he, Kleber, who was a second-round pick, that big right-handed shot defenseman, and Schultz all played Pee-wee together. They're all on the same team.
You know what you also don't see? A lot of guys, if they're good enough to go to the league, they're not there all 4 years in college like Ryan Johnson, right? You know what I mean? You're right about the freshmen, but a lot of these guys, they're good enough. They don't stay all 4 years. That happened. I think Devin Levi was all 4 years, right? I think that's how he was.
Three.
No, did he say three? Okay, three. Even though he had all the accolades, obviously, but there you go. That's a great example as well. I want to talk about what Kevin Adams said yesterday. We had you on before the scrum, and then you heard the scrum, and of course, Paul has an article at WGR550.com. But before I do that, let me ask you one more time. Do you, because I don't want to lose my train of thought, what is the reason did they give for not having as many players here in this particular prospect camp as normal?
That started, Mertka just lost the puck on a breakaway this year's number one pick. Big mm-hmm. kid, he can
move. He skates well for a big guy, by the way.
Yeah, he does. I saw him lead I haven't forgotten your question. I saw him lead a 3-on-2, and it didn't work out, and he got back in a hurry and was able to get back and break up a play, which impressed me. Now, it started with, remember when the Amherst made the conference final a couple of years ago? And it's like, mm-hmm. we don't want to make these kids come to, you know, this camp when they basically just finished up less than a month ago. So it kind of started with that. Most of the Amherst, if not all, who are prospects have been to this camp before. Comp is the only one here, and he was the guy they signed out of college right near the end of the year last year. So he's never been to one of these, and that's why he's here. So they have fewer guys that come to it. Like, this 3-on-3 has always been three teams. And they've easily been able to ice three teams, where one team would be watching and it'd be a round robin. Now, this had 30 minutes on. It's running time. I'm guessing we're going to play two 30-minute halves, you know, with two teams here.
I was told that because when I set up here and said, hey, you know, what's the timing here? And I was told two 30-minute halves will have a bit of an intermission in between. They might want to clean the ice. I'm not really sure how much
will,
they're going to do that. And then, but you're right, Paul. What I remember is blue, gold, and white they had for the mm-hmm. team jerseys. And they would go have a few different games.
Yeah, no, they'd have a round robin, then a semifinal and a final. You know, you know, they would do so. One team would get a bye. The other two teams would play in the semifinal. And then they would play the final. So, they have scaled it down. But a lot of it is they feel also that it's more important for guys to get, you know, get their rest, get home, get into their summer routines. A lot of them are in routines, whether it's with skating coaches or goaltending coaches, those types of things, strength and conditioning. They don't want them to miss that kind of stuff, especially if their seasons or they play in the Memorial Cup late. That's also come into play a couple of times. They would rather they get their off season. They believe in, yes, get some rest to start with. Maybe take a vacation and get yourself into your summer training program. They think that's more beneficial for them.
Paul Hamilton in the West Shore Hotline, but not far from me here at Lecom Harbor Center. We are down here for Sabres Prospect Camp. It's the scrimmage to end the week of camp. Kevin Adams spoke with the media yesterday. Paul, you were part of that scrum. We knew that Bo Byram's situation would be top of mind and really the first question asked. He didn't give anything. He did give one thing definitive. He didn't obviously give an update on anything as far as any trade progress or anything like that, but he did specifically say they will match any offer given to Bo Byram. What did you think about his definitive answer to that?
Yeah, and there was no gray area. We are matching if it happens. I mean, so there was no gray area, no conspiracy theory, no. I mean, it was. This is what we are doing should it happen. This is why we did certain things with our salary cap. So they can't do, remember Kokakamemi went from Montreal to Carolina. They did something with the first year of the contract that was like way, way overpaid. So they overpaid him first year knowing that Montreal couldn't. And then they redid a contract afterwards because it was only a 1 year deal, as I recall, I think, as we're sitting here talking. And then the contract that he actually signed was more in line with what you – but that's how they got him away from. So they wanted enough salary cap space that if somebody were to try to do that to the Sabres, they wouldn't be able to pull it off. The Sabres would have enough salary cap room that they could do that, they could match that. Because they don't want futures. They don't want a first, second, third round pick or a first and third. They want players. So, all right, if you match and there still needs to be a trade, at least there's certainty on what the other team is going to have to pay, what kind of contract they're talking, if a trade is still on the table. So, but there was no gray area at all. It was, we are definitely matching any offer sheet.
Okay, so the next question is, how much of that is a message to teams who might offer him, and how much of that is actually truth? I mean, look, I'm not saying he's lying, but, you know, he's trying to send a message. I guess I ask this because I'm still wondering if he's just trying to make sure and pressure a team into saying, look, if you really want him, you got to trade for him because we're going to match an offer sheet. And that kind of puts another team in a different position. Or do you really believe, hey, it does not matter what the offer sheet is? Because let's be honest, Paul, there is an offer sheet scenario out there that the Sabres may say there's just no way we think that that's valuable for Bo Byram.
Well, they have enough room that they could max his contract and they could match it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they talk about when they have it. He would look like a fool if he's playing games here. He would look like an absolute fool. I mean, his credibility, whatever it is now, would be zero if an offer sheet came and they didn't match it because of the way he put it. He didn't leave a gray area. He didn't say we most likely. He said we will match any offer sheet, and that's why we set up our, so that's what I'm talking about is conspiracy theories. He would look like an absolute fool if he didn't match it.
Do you think there are teams, A, that are still in negotiations for a trade for Bo Byram, and B, teams that are seriously contemplating an offer sheet for Bo Byram?
Oh yeah, there are talks. You know me, I'm not a big, huge believer in these offer sheet things when they come up because they so rarely happen. There were two last year, both by St. Louis, and the reason there were two is they went after Edmonton knowing that they couldn't match because of their salary cap. So it's just so rarely done. I know we have to talk. I wish it was done more. I wish teams would use it because I think it is a tool for teams to help them get better. But they just don't. So I don't get too tied up and worried about offer sheets. And I don't think teams needed Kevin Adams to tell them that he would match. I think it was widely assumed the Sabres would match any offer sheet, but he was asked the question, so he answered it. You know, and he answered it in a very definitive way.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. They are now cleaning the ice, as we suspected, in between the two 30-minute periods. So we have a little bit of time here. We'll have another 30-minute period. The score is now 5-2. The Gold is beating the Blue. Looking over some of the roster here. Only two goalies at this. There are five. Okay, so three for one team, two for another. And Retzlaff's been around a little while, Scott. Scott Retzlaff, Paul. He's been around a little while in the organization.
Yeah, Retzlaff was in net for the Gold team. Surrendered, two goals on 23 shots, so he made 21 saves. You might remember last year, as he put it, it was the Buffalo Amherst playing in the preseason because the Buffalo Sabres were abroad, spending preseason in Germany, and then played the two games against the Devils in Czechia. So it had to be the Amherst playing the preseason games. And he went to Columbus, and he said he looked on the internet in the morning and saw he was playing the Columbus Blue Jackets pretty much. Except maybe for two or three players, he was playing the Blue Jackets team. So it's like, okay, kid, you're from the Western Hockey League in junior, go to it. And that's what he said. He goes, I just sat there and said, you know what, I got nothing to lose. Just go play. And he played 40 minutes and shut him out, you know, and really played very, very well. Yeah. So, and plus he's been in Rochester for a couple of weeks after his season in Seattle ended. So he was able, as the Amherst were preparing for the playoffs, to practice with them, see what a pro team is about, see what Rochester's about, since that's likely where he'll be with Levi. And, so that gives him a little bit of jump start. It's not going to all be new to him when he shows up there. So he had in a 3-on-3, you're going to get scored on a little bit. He got scored on right away by Jake Richard. But 21 saves, did a pretty good job. I don't know if you realize this, Sal, as you look at the rosters, there may be a name you recognize. Remember way back in the 90s, the Tampa Bay Lightning had a young lady in goal who played a preseason for them.
Menon Rayom.
That's her son, Dakota Rayom Mullen.
Really?
Playing for Team
that
Gold.
That is a great piece of trivia.
Yeah, that is his son out there, or her son out there.
I did not know that.
Makes me feel old. Marty was here yesterday actually texting with her, seeing if she was going to be here. She's not. But, yeah, that's her son out there.
I do remember that. I think it was my freshman year of college at Syracuse. I remember that she was on the cover of a magazine, and she was a lot of talk, obviously a female professional goalie. She kind of paved the way a lot for what's happening now and the real incredible explosion of women's hockey, obviously, around the world, and particularly here in the United States and even in Buffalo. So, yeah, very cool. That's a really good piece of trivia right there. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, yesterday I had a good discussion / debate with a bunch of people online about the Bo Byram situation. I think you and I are aligned here. They don't need prospects. They don't need, a first-round pick. What has that gotten them over the years? But the pushback I got from people, and I want to run this by you, is, but Sal, their prospect pool isn't as good anymore as it was a few years ago. They don't have anybody in the pipeline. And guess what? It doesn't appear they're going to be really climbing up the standings. So why not just let Bo Byram go for, let's say, a first and a third, if that's what the offer sheet is? I disagree with that, but that is the pushback that I got, and a good, I think, discussion about this.
Yeah, no, that's totally wrong. GMs are constantly calling about the Sabres prospects. Adams mm-hmm. gets calls daily, some of the prospects that they have, especially Noah Ostlund, Hellenius, mm-hmm. who really came on at the end of last year as a young 18-year-old. He played in the American Hockey League as an 18-year-old, and he had to learn North American hockey, and he really came on and was putting up some points near the end. Same thing with Noah Ostlund. He was great. And when Noah Ostlund came to Buffalo for that little bit, I thought he played very well. He couldn't buy a goal. He had some opportunities, but I liked his overall two-way play. I think the two Russian defensemen are both going to be guys who can be in the NHL. One of the reasons, there was a lot of hand-wringing about Bernard Docker, and I think one of the reasons is I think Lindy Ruff is more into maybe having Ryan Johnson around. Ryan Johnson, talking to Mike Leone,
yes,
who was his coach a couple of days ago, said Ryan Johnson, along with Jack Rathbone, were the shutdown pair for them. And as I was watching them in the playoffs, I had an opportunity to see that. He really came forward last year and had a good year of development. So it seems to me that maybe he's ahead of Bernard Docker and Bryson and those guys. And it, right now, I don't have Byram in my lineup. I do have Johnson, you know, as the guy. Now, if Byram signs some type of a contract and is there for day one, then Samuelson is probably on the third pair with Timmons. But if Byram's there, then Samuelson's probably with Dahlin, and I think Johnson is then in the lineup for Buffalo. I think he would be the number six guy.
I was going to ask you about Johnson because I agree. It feels to me like this team thinks Ryan Johnson's going to be on this roster and a contributor this year.
And, you know, the two defensemen, second-round picks that we talk about, are also, you know, they're in college. So fans maybe who don't think the prospect pool is there anymore don't get a chance to see Adam Kleber, who is huge. I was watching him out here today a little bit, following him. I love the fact that the Sabres this year, you know, drafted or had a nifty Russian here that they have. A nifty player, I'll just put it that way, Zelenov. I was searching for his name. And, of course, you know, Kleber's this big man and everything. He had no problem with him whatsoever one-on-one. Easily rode him off into the wall. Wasn't fooled by any of the speed or the moves or anything like that. And, you know, I was very impressed by that, you know, going up against a nifty player like that. And, you know, so, you know, here's a guy who was drafted in the second round, right-handed shooting defenseman in 2024. We talked about Zimmer, the third-round pick as a true freshman at Minnesota. If he wasn't a good player, he wouldn't be playing as a true freshman at the University of Minnesota. And then the year before that, there's two second-round picks, Anton Wahlberg, who I still think is a good prospect in Rochester, and Maxim Sturbik, another big right-handed shooting defenseman who plays at Michigan State. So, you know, the cupboard is not bare. You know, I take a look at Isak Rosén. I'm not sure that that's a guy that is going to make it or not. I just haven't been overly impressed when he's wound up in Buffalo. I think this is a big year for him, maybe a make it or break it year for him. As far as, you know, is he going to be an NHL player? Is he not? So, no, I would not go along with the prospect pool is empty.
And then Alex Tuch, his situation, Paul. It is past July 1st, obviously. We're here at the 3rd of July. He is eligible to sign an extension with the Sabres. He has 1 year left in his deal. What did Kevin Adams say, if anything, about that situation?
He's talked to the agent, and, you know, he said he's told the agent in no uncertain terms how they feel about Alex Tuch and how important he is to them. It didn't need to be done yesterday. So, you know, they needed to get themselves through free agency, and there are a lot of trade calls that come around and before and after free agency. So, you know, that's something I think that is going to be picked up very soon, but get through this part of, you know, what they were trying to do, and then start, you know, getting down to brass tacks with that. But, they have made contact, but it's just, you know, the key negotiations are still to come.
That horn means you are off the clock, Paul Hamilton. I'll let you go watch the next 30 minutes. Listen, have a great 4th of July weekend and, you know, into next week. I'll be headed to Italy next week. I don't know how much you and I are going to be talking, but I will see you at training camp when I get back. I'm positive of that. In the meantime, thanks a lot this week. I know you've been all over and doing a lot, so I really appreciate your time, man.
You're not going to be doing your show from Italy?
You know what? I don't think so. You never know what happens when you're out in good old Italy.
I don't think your wife would be too pleased about that if you're doing.
She may say no. You go ahead and do that. I am walking this direction or that direction. Listen, I will tell you. Several years ago, maybe 10, 15, before Max was born, actually. And I always say, if you walked in a different direction every day, you would still see the most amazing, oldest, incredible stuff you've ever seen in your life. Unbelievable when you go to Europe and see that.
Yeah, I'd love to be there, get to Italy sometime.
All right, buddy. Hey, enjoy your weekend and the rest of the prospect camp today. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, have fun there, and we'll see you after we get back.
All right, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. He is literally standing several feet from me. But he is here watching prospect camp as another goal is scored by the Gold, who now take a 6-2 lead. Matt Bove is literally standing next to me, so he's going to join me here next on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We host that show together, but this is the Extra Point Show here on WGR. Back after this.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again?
Oh yeah, baby, you're like a firework here on this 4th of July weekend upcoming. Sal Capaccio with you on the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can always tweet at me, at Sal Sports. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Nortown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at nortownkia.com. Hey, folks, I am a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan, as you probably know. And you can keep tuning in through the rest of today for your chance to win two tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center on Saturday, August 9th. This August 9th, 2025, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Matt Bove joins me right now. He stands right next to me at Lecom Harbor Center watching the Sabres 3-on-3 scrimmage at development camp. And that is the day, by the way. The Goo Goo Dolls coming the day the Bills open their preseason at home against the Giants.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. That's a busy day. Are you going to do the double dip?
Oh, I'm doing it.
I love that for you. I love that. I don't think I got that in me. I'm too old.
Oh, give me a break. Come on. It's the Bills and Giants at Highmark and then Goo Goo Dolls that night at KeyBank Center, which would be a very good time. How itching are you for training camp? Are you right now saying, no, I'm still not ready yet. Don't do this to me.
No, I look forward to it. I think I really enjoy the first couple days of training camp, and then by the middle of the second week, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this to be done. I'm ready to get back to Buffalo. But at the beginning, it's almost like the first day of school. That's what it feels like. And the first week of it feels like the first couple days of school. You're excited. You get to see everybody again. You get back in the swing of things, and then you realize it's 90 degrees. You're sweating, and you're watching the defensive line just maul each other.
And Matt and I, we do our podcast, It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We'll be bringing you plenty of content from training camp. And just be on the lookout. We got something in the works again. We'll be taking it on location while we're out in Rochester this year. We've done it the last couple of years. We're going to be doing that again for you again this year. All right, Sabres 3-on-3 development camp, prospect camp. When you watch this, you know, what do you think of as far as some of these guys coming up through the organization, where this team stands right now? You're watching number 57 out here, Radim Mertka, their top draft pick. When you watch these guys, do you just, hey, this is a little bit of fun, or do you actually look and say, you know what, maybe this guy could develop into something in a few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to not immediately flash to Tyler Myers with a tall, lanky defenseman skating around who's also wearing number 57. Admittedly, haven't noticed him a ton in this 3-on-3 tournament. This isn't necessarily his game. So I have been impressed by a couple of the guys here. I mean, this guy right here has been all over the ice, number 37, but it's kind of just a fast thing. I've really liked Gavin McCarthy's game so far today, Buffalo kid, and you immediately notice him because of the Buffalo connection, but I think he has had a strong day. And Brody Ziemer, another player who I've been impressed with. His shot is just really impressive. So those are probably the guys that have stood out at least so far halfway through this thing.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of guys that have been here before. Scott Ratzlaff is actually somebody who's been here before, taking a look. And then I think there was someone else. Wasn't Patrick Geary here already before as well? I think he was part of the organization last year.
Yeah, he's like Nate's cousin.
He's Nate's cousin.
Yeah, he's another Buffalo native. So there's a couple guys here on this or in this organization that are Western New York natives. It's Geary and then it's McCarthy. Geary and McCarthy, I think, both had their first development camp last year. And I think strong showings from both of them, but especially McCarthy.
All right, so I had a really good debate slash discussion online yesterday with some Sabres fans, pushing back on my position on what the Sabres should be thinking of or doing with the Bo Byram situation. We heard Kevin Adams say, we will match any offer sheet. And I think that is the right approach to take for this reason. I don't think the Sabres need any futures. Another first round, first and third. Who cares? To me, it's either you trade Bo Byram or you match an offer sheet. And I think that's Kevin Adams' approach, which I agree with. The pushback I get is, but Sal, their pipeline isn't as good anymore. So as much as you've had all these picks and prospects in the past, you don't anymore. And on top of that, the team really doesn't have, even with Bo Byram, maybe isn't going to move the needle to get any better. Where do you stand?
Here's the thing, though. I don't disagree with you, but there is a little caveat here. You can use futures to help your team now. You should be taking back the best, in my opinion, you should be taking back the best package you get, and then it is your job as a front office to turn that into what you need. So if the far and away best offer for Bo Byram involves futures, then it is Kevin Adams' job to take that offer and then turn that into something that could help them. I feel like they're pigeonholing themselves too much, and because of that, they might not be getting back as strong of an offer as they could, and maybe we saw that in the Paterka trade. I like Kesselring. I like Doan. But what if they were able to get futures and then trade some of those futures for players like that and then still have a little bit left over? So, yes, it's all about improving your team right now. I do agree, though. The prospect pool isn't nearly as impressive as it was a couple years ago because guys like Kulik, guys like Benson, they're not prospects anymore. Like, they've been in the league for a while now. After that, there's kind of some questions as far as, like, top-end, high-skilled forwards in the pool. There's not a ton of that there, but I wholeheartedly agree. You really shouldn't be thinking about that. You need to get this team as good as possible, as soon as possible, and they have not done nearly enough.
What do you think about Bo Byram still being on this team? He's not a bad hockey player. It might come down to the value, obviously, but how different are they with or without him on the team?
Right now, they're a better team with him on. They're a better team with him there, but I don't know how they're going to improve the team otherwise unless they move him. I feel like Kevin tipped his hand a little bit yesterday with a question I asked in saying that it sounds like they're trying to get back maybe a defenseman and maybe a forward, because then that brings you to the question, if they trade Bo Byram, who the heck do they play with Rasmus Dahlin? I don't know who that's going to be, because I'm assuming it's going to be Power and Kesselring, and this team can't just go back to, well, we'll stick Samuelson up with Dahlin and we'll see how it works. They've tried that way too many times. You can't do it again. So right now, they're a better team with Byram, but if they move him, they should theoretically be getting back a forward who can help you and probably a defenseman who can slot in as maybe like a second pair guy, and then you have things that you can work with. So I don't think they're going to keep him, and I also don't think they should keep him. I think they need to move on.
When you say he tipped his hand, is that because he kind of alluded to that they want both a forward and a defenseman back?
I asked hypothetically, if you trade Bo Byram, what would you do to your defense? Because there's questions there, and he essentially said, well, we're talking about hypotheticals here, but it would depend on the return, because maybe we would be trying to get back a forward and a defenseman or something, almost like they did with the J.J. Paterka trade, where they got back a forward and a defenseman. So it's kind of clear to me, like, they are trying to get back legitimate NHL players. You just worry, if that's the only offers you're listening to, are you overlooking some other things that are potentially better for you or that could turn into something better for you? Like, you can use futures for other stuff. Like, if they want to get a real forward, maybe you just got to sweeten the pot on a Brian Rust deal to the Penguins, and you got to give them a few more futures than you were comfortable doing before. But if that's what it takes to get it over the line, then maybe that's what you have to do. Like, these are all assets. These are all poker chips. It's just how you use them to try and improve this roster right now.
I guess the thing that I don't like when I hear the pushback on what I'm saying is from people, fans saying, but Sal, they need more first-round picks because they're going to be bad anyway, and it's more lottery tickets. I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm sorry.
Here's the one that I think, too, and I actually was listening to Jeremy and Joe talk about it on the way into work this morning. Calgary has been a team that has been, you know, kind of lingering around with this Bowen Byram trade, and one of the players on their team, Rasmus Anderson, is another defenseman who seems like he's going to get moved. Now, it's been reported that he does not intend to sign an extension with, like, literally any team that he gets moved to unless it was the Vegas Golden Knights. If you're the Sabres, I'm taking on that risk. I don't care. If you only have him for 1 year, this is what you can do. If you make the playoffs, maybe he sticks around. If you're definitely not in contention, then you try and move him at the deadline for another future to a team that is in contention. So, like, I think you need to be open to everything to try and get this team as competitive as possible in the foreseeable future. Because look at the division. Florida is still Florida. Tampa is still very good. Toronto probably won't be as good, but they're still going to be good. I think Montreal has drastically improved. I think Ottawa is better than you, but not like you can't pass them. And we're not even talking about Boston, right? Like, Boston is probably, they get the benefit of the doubt more than the Sabres do, just for existing. So, and Detroit was better than the Sabres last year, too. I mean, they were the worst team in the division. Like, they have a lot of teams they need to leapfrog, and they have not done, in my opinion, nearly enough yet to get to a point where they are definitely in consideration to be a playoff team. I think back to Jason Zucker at the end of a season press conference. This started circulating a little on social media yesterday. He said hope is an expletive strategy, right? That's what a coach has told him. You can't just hope things are going to get better. Right now it feels like the Sabres are hoping things will get better without, like, truly changing this roster.
By the way, everything you just said about if they were to trade for a guy like Anderson in that situation, that's what I feel about Alex Tuch. I don't care. You have Alex Tuch. If he says, I'm not signing now, I want to see where it goes, fine. Then let it see where it goes, because you can always trade him at the trade deadline. Or he says, okay, this is what I've always wanted with the Sabres, and he does resign.
Yeah, I think Tuch will get done. I feel like that's one of those things where both sides are kind of on the same page. I think he's going to get a ton of money. I think when that contract gets announced, some fans will look at it and be like, whoa, Alex Tuch is getting that much money. But with a rising salary cap, with the space the Sabres have and what he has meant to the organization, I don't think that's a player who you can let leave unless you're getting a huge return for him, and I don't see that happening. So I do think Tuch is going to be somebody who probably ends up getting an extension in the foreseeable future. I keep saying foreseeable future. I don't know why. It's like my crutch word of the day, I guess.
All right, so we always usually talk football because it's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me, Sal Capaccio here. We are at Lecom Harbor Center. We'll throw a little football at you because you've been doing the Stadium Series, 52 years of pandemonium. Did you see yesterday that the Cleveland Browns are getting a brand new stadium as well?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think of how it looks? Because I said it looks like a convention center with a football field.
It looks sick to me.
You love it?
I think it looks really cool. I mean, it looks very futuristic. I don't know how it'll age. I mean, I'm sure it'll age very, very well. I don't know. I like new. I like different. That's not to say, like, the Bills are building a very traditional football stadium that's just much, much, much nicer than the building they currently have. So I think that that's great. That's awesome. But I like how the renovations and everything look in, or not the renovations. I like how the designs look in Cleveland. I think it looks pretty sweet.
Listen, I think it looks very, you're right, futuristic and beautiful. It just doesn't look like a football stadium to me. I will say, though, neither did Minnesota, and that is one heck of a looking facility.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of the stadiums around the league that just when you see the renderings, you're like, I don't know how that's going to be. And then when it comes into fruition, you're like, wow, that's gorgeous. That's really, really cool. The question is, though, how do you feel about Cleveland playing indoors? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, right? Part of the culture of their team, right? People felt the same thing about the Bills. You got to build a dome. Some said, no, this is how you play in Buffalo. Speaking of 52 years of pandemonium, you got the series continuing on Monday.
Yeah, next episode coming up on Monday, 7:30 on Channel 7. New episode every Monday from now until July 28th. All of the episodes are available right now on WKBW.com and on our Smart TV app. I think there might be a little Sal Capaccio cameo in the next episode, and that's what I've heard sources. But yeah, the next episode is a fun one to put together. It was about kind of all of the people who have worked for the team and then a lot of the people who have covered the team from over the years. We've kind of shifted now. This next episode is kind of shifting into the new wave. It was a lot of the beginning, the early years. Now we're kind of getting into the middle part, and then eventually the drought, and then ultimately the Sean McDermott era, and we've got some other special things up our sleeve.
All right, well, we're going to be getting together at training camp, and again, be on the lookout for Matt Bove and I to be on location at training camp. Thanks for walking over here a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Matt Bove there, WKBW TV Channel 7. Follow him online on Twitter at Matt_Bove. Back after this timeout from the Lecom Harbor Center. It is the Sabres 3-on-3 scrimmage at their annual development camp here today as we head towards the 4th of July and holiday break here on WGR.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have a big comeback here in our hands on this 3-on-3. Another goal by Blue. That was number 70. That is Jake. Here we go. Listen. See that? Jake Richard. You heard that right there. Jake Richard scored, but it is now 8-6 gold. I think Blue, I'm sorry, 8-6 Blue. I think Blue has scored six straight goals. I believe it was 6-2. Gold was winning. And then Blue over here, and it doesn't really mean anything if I say Blue and Gold, but that's the jersey colors they're wearing. And another goal about to come, but nice save here. 3-on-3 camp. This thing goes fast. There's really no whistles. They don't really stop it. There's no face-offs. Even when the puck kind of hits the netting, they just throw another puck on the ice, and they just keep going. So down here at the 3-on-3 development camp scrimmage, Sal Capaccio with you. Going to have Matt Verderam join me here at 11 a.m. Now, Matt is a writer for SI. He covers, don't hold against him, he covers the Chiefs. But no, he's in Kansas City, covers the Chiefs, but he writes for SI as well. And he's actually got a cool project he's a part of. He's asked me to be a project part of the project as well. We'll talk about that. But just catch up on what's going on in the NFL with him, not Kansas City necessarily. But I really want to also, you know, ask him what he thought about the Steelers-Dolphins trade. I'm still reading a lot of, you know, talk about that trade and analysis, and it's so funny. Some people think, oh, the Dolphins really hosed the Steelers. And some people are like, oh, the Steelers really hosed the Dolphins. Like, I don't know. I guess that means that it worked out for both teams. As I said the other day, I just think that I understand why each side did what they did, given the situation they're in. It's no different than, you know, the Sabres being in a position with Bo Byram, right? Like, okay, well, here's a player where you're going to have to move him, right? Or I said maybe Paterka's a better example here. Well, what did Kevin Adams say? He said, well, you know, it became clear we just weren't going to be able to sign him. And then we can debate, you know, why that is, I guess. But at some point you say, okay, we have to move on. I think that's what happened with the Dolphins when it came to Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, we'll get Matt Verderam's perspective on that. You can always get connected with me, and we can get connected with you, our fans, brought to you by Nordtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at nordtownkia.com, and that's exactly what Richard did when he said, and he tweets in, hey, Sal, does Matt Bove, who was out with me a little while ago, not realize this team needs help now? The reason we don't want the best deal available, including picks, because as this draft has shown, no one is trading for picks. I don't disagree. Like, that's kind of my thought. And Matt and I had a good discussion on it. Oh, what a save by, who's it down there in goal? I can't tell for the team blue right now, but great save. That is Evgeny Prokhorov. Oh, Prokhorov with a great save just a moment ago. I don't disagree with your stance. It's a great debate. It's a really good discussion. I had this online yesterday with a whole bunch of people, a bunch of Sabres fans who were, you know, telling me, like, you gotta, the pipeline isn't good anymore. Okay, well, you know what? It's still not, like, it's not barren. It's not terrible. I know that it's not what it used to be. But at the same time, what are you going to do with another first-round pick and another third-round pick? Wait 3 more years for them to develop? What are we doing here? That's my position. And that's why I say I'm not interested in these picks for Bo Byram. I'm interested in NHL players. And if you can't get the NHL players, then keep an NHL player in Bo Byram. That's why I look at it that way. I understand the other thought by it. I just don't agree with it. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to have Matt Verderam come up from SI, like I said. And we're going to talk a little bit of football as we also watch a little bit of hockey down here at Lecom Harbor Center. By the way, if you're down here, you're heading down here, and there's still a time. Actually, this game is going to be ending soon. Come on by and say hi. I am sitting over in the corner here, sitting in the bleachers, having a good time watching this game as a puck skates right by the empty net. And Mertka is going to take it up with a minute left. We'll keep it right here for 1 second, Joe. I'll keep it for you here. So let's not go to break yet because we got 1 minute left, and I'll let you know if Gold comes back. They're down 2 goals, and Blue has the puck right now, trying for an empty net. It's a 4-3 situation now, 4-on-3 situation, because Gold has pulled their goalie, and Gold is made up of it. That's the team that Radim Mertka is on, as well as Patrick Geary. Talked about him a little while ago, I believe, relation to Nate Geary. Only 27 seconds left, getting the puck moving here. Scott Ratzlaff is one of the goaltenders for Gold, as well as Ryerson Leanders. You got the Blue team. It looks like they're going to be taking this one home in another 15 seconds. That's Noah LaBerge, who's looked really good today. That's a guy that Matt Bove said, hey, that number 37 looked really good. That's Noah LaBerge. And he actually has looked really good. His skating is excellent. But guys can really skate in this thing. There's a lot of room out here. 2 seconds, 1 second, that is it. Goal, Blue takes it home. 8-6 over Gold here at the Sabres 3-on-3 development camp scrimmage. We will take a timeout here, come back to Lecom Harbor Center, but also talk with Matt Verderam of SI here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.